This is Alive with Joseph.
Let's get into scriptures this morning as we're looking at this season at the cross. But I sense in my spirit that I must lay this foundation because of what I'll be teaching you next week. And I want you to be very attentive. Go with me to the book of Luke chapter 24 from verse 1 to 8. Luke 24 from verse 1 to 8. The TPT translation, I read, it says, very early that Sunday morning, the women made their way to the tomb, carrying the spices they had prepared. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Johanna, and Jesus' mother Mary. Arriving at the tomb, they discovered that the huge stone covering the entrance had been rolled aside, so they went in to look. But the tomb was empty. The body of Jesus was gone. They stood there stunned and perplexed. Suddenly, two men appeared above them in dazzling white robes, shining like lightning. Terrified, the women fell to the ground on their faces. The men in white said to them, why would you look for the living one in a tomb? He is not here, for he has risen. Have you forgotten what he said to you while he was still in Galilee? The destiny of the Son of Man is to be handed over to sinful men, to be nailed to a cross, and on the third day to rise again. All at once they remembered his words. The Lord bless his word. Amen. We're looking at what I titled, I Told You. Now on this day, very day, this Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, millions of people on the planet Earth are reflecting and rejoicing and celebrating at the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think it is very important for every one of us to reflect, rejoice, and remember. Because humans have a tendency to forget. And that is why all through our scriptures, we will see God encouraging his people to remember, to reflect, to rejoice. Because we have a tendency to forget. We have a tendency to forget all that God has done for us. We have a tendency to forget. So the scriptures encourages us to remember, reflect, rejoice. Easter is a reminder that even the darkest tomb cannot hold back God's light. And I pray for you. I don't know what darkness you have experienced in your journey this year. I prophesy the light of God over you in the name of Jesus. As I prophesy the light of God over you in the name of Jesus. Because the darkest tomb cannot hold Jesus or couldn't hold Jesus, I declare no darkness will be able to hold you down going forward in the name of Jesus. If you believe it, say that amen like a believer. So the reason God wants you and I to reflect, to remember, to rejoice is because if you do not, you will take for granted in your present season what you prayed for in your last season. If you do not remember, if you do not reflect, you will take for granted your testimony you are living in, which used to be your prayer point some years ago or some months ago. So God wants us to remember because of gratitude. Some of you right now, seated in this sacred space, you are sitting in the seasons you prayed for. You are sitting in the season that used to be your prayer request. You are sitting in the season that used to be your prayer point. And because it has, you are sitting in that testimony, you have become so familiar with it that you have forgotten where God brought you from. And I don't know how many that will say this morning, I remember where God brought me from. If you're that person this morning, lift your voice in thanksgiving and give Jesus your highest praise. Many of us are sitting right in what used to be our prayer request. We are sitting right in what used to be our prayer point so many months ago, so many years ago. And God wants you and I to remember and to reflect. You remember and reflect the things that the Lord has done for you. Because we have a tendency as humans to be familiar. And familiarity hinders gratitude. Anytime a human being becomes familiar with what the Lord has done for them, they become ungrateful. Grateful at what the Lord has done for them. I don't know how many grateful people are in the house this morning. If you're grateful, lift your voice in gratitude and celebrate the Lord this morning. Give him praise. Lord, I thank you. You and I need to remember and reflect that he was wounded for our transgression. You need to remember and reflect he was bruised for your iniquity. You need to remember and reflect that the chastisement that brought about your peace or the punishment for your peace was laid upon him. Therefore, again, I declare, whatever punishment you're going through in the hands of the forces of hell, I command it to cease in the name of Jesus. I didn't hear your amen like a believer. I command that punishment to cease in the name of Jesus. Receive your peace in the name of Jesus. You and I need to remember and reflect that Jesus, by his stripes, you were healed. I pray for you. Anyone that is sick under the sound of my voice, be healed in the name of Jesus. By the stripes of Jesus, I prophesy, receive your healing in the name of Jesus. And since Jesus got up out of the grave, I declare you to come out of whatever is a grave-like situation in your life in the name of Jesus. I say, come out of that grave-like situation in the name of Jesus. I say, come out in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise if you believe it this morning. We must remember, we must reflect, because we tend to forget where the Lord has brought us from. And the reason why you and I must remember and reflect is because gratitude is proper stewardship of God's goodness. Gratitude is proper stewardship of God's goodness. When God is good to you, the way you steward that goodness is by expressing gratitude to recognize his goodness. Gratitude is proper stewardship of God's goodness. Every time you're grateful to God, the way you show that gratitude is by you stewarding, the way you show that you're grateful is how you steward that goodness. And gratitude is good stewardship of God's goodness towards you and towards everything that is connected to you. Some people think that when we are loud and boisterous like this in our praise, it is us being grateful to God for what he has done for us. We are not uninformed. We are not unintelligent. We are just loud and boisterous because we remember. We remember and reflect at the goodness of God. When I remember what the Lord has done for me, I can't afford to keep quiet. When you remember where God picked you from, when you remember how he took you from the back of the queue and has brought you to the front line of the queue, when you remember when you were a nobody, when you were down and out, when your story was written up, when it looks like nothing good will ever come out of you, and here you are today, you're not just alive, you are living well. My friend, lift your voice, give him praise this morning. Please give him praise this morning. Please give him praise this morning. Please give him praise this morning. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, our enemies would have swallowed us up quickly. Give Jesus praise. According to the timetable of hell, some of you ought not to be alive right now. According to the program of darkness, you are not supposed to be alive. But here you are, living. My friend, let the living give Jesus praise this morning. Hallelujah. That's why we are boisterous in our praise and thanksgiving to God. We praise God because we have enough intelligence to recognize, to realize that we didn't get to where we are all by ourselves. If it was not the grace of God who took us to where we are now, and his mercy that preserved us from the judgment of man, we wouldn't have been here. How many is grateful to God this morning? Are you grateful to God this morning? Please give him praise one more time. Resurrection Sunday should actually be a Thanksgiving Sunday, that we are returning back to celebrate the goodness of God. So we need to remember, we need to reflect, we need to rejoice over the events of resurrection. Because also, it is important for you and I not just, you know, to explore the event of resurrection. We must also understand the implication of resurrection. Because I believe what makes the good news or the gospel good news is not just solely and exclusively what happened. What makes resurrection of Christ good news is what it means for us. What it means for the believer. What it means for humanity. The word gospel simply means good news. If you know that Jesus rose, that is good news for him. But it is not only when you know that he rose, if you also have an understanding of why, of the power of resurrection, it becomes good news for you. So one thing I want you to understand is resurrection is an opportunity and a time for you and I to reflect, to remember. And when we remember, we rejoice. We rejoice. We rejoice at what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. So I think one thing to know, it is one thing to know what happened. It is also another thing to explore what it means for you and I. And in that spirit this morning, I want to make this statement. I want you to listen carefully. The statement is, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a revelation of God's ability to orchestrate, to set up unusual recovery and restoration for us. The resurrection of Christ is God's ability, or a revelation of God's ability, to set up, to orchestrate unusual recovery and restoration. And on that note, I pray for you today, you will recover in the name of Jesus. You will be restored in the name of Jesus. I say you will recover in the name of Jesus. You shall be restored in the name of Jesus. Listen, friends, just because something is unlikely doesn't mean it is impossible. It is unlikely that the Red Sea will pass, but it was not impossible. We saw that in the book of Exodus. It is unlikely that you will enter into the den of lions and come out whole and unscathed. But friends, it wasn't impossible. We saw that with Daniel when he was thrown into the lion's den and the lions could not eat him up. He came out the next day. Nothing happened to him. I don't know which den you have been thrown into. I came to announce you are coming out in the name of Jesus. I say you are out in the name of Jesus. I say you are out in the name of Jesus. If a man could come out of the den in the old covenant, I prophesy you that is in the new covenant, come out of whatever den you have been thrown into in the name of Jesus. Celebrate the Lord if you believe it this morning. It is unlikely, but it is not impossible. It is unlikely that you could go to bed today with nothing in your pocket and you wake up tomorrow morning a millionaire. It is unlikely, but it's not impossible. For with man, it is not possible. For with God, all things are possible. Give Jesus praise. It is unlikely that you get into the fiery furnace that have been heated up 7 times or 10 times and come out without even the smell of the smoke on your body. But my friend, it is not impossible. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were thrown into the fire. And when they were thrown into the fire, Jesus, the fourth man, appeared. I don't know which fire you have been thrown into. I came to declare on this Resurrection Sunday, the fourth man will appear on your behalf in the name of Jesus. I said the fourth man will appear in the name of Jesus. The fourth man will appear for you in that fire in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise. Hallelujah. The fourth man in the fiery furnace. He is the fourth man in the fiery furnace. It is unlikely that you get buried in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. You stay there Thursday all day, all night. Friday all day, all night. Saturday all day, all night. But early Sunday morning, you come out of that grave. It is unlikely, but it's not impossible. Why? Jesus came out of the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea with the big stone rolled, and yet he defied the odds. He broke the chains of hell and death and he came out. I don't know what chain has kept you down. I stand here today. I command the chain be broken in the name of Jesus. Be broken in the name of Jesus. Whatever chain has tied your mind, tied your emotions, tied your health, tied your family, I stand here on this Resurrection Sunday. I command the chain be broken in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise. Hallelujah. It is unusual, but my friend, your heavenly Father specializes in the unusual. The unusual is the evidence of God's goodness and God's sovereignty. It's the evidence of God's goodness and God's sovereignty. He is God all by himself. He is God all by himself. He doesn't need anybody to be God. He is the God who will do whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do, how he wants to do it, and no one can question him. Are you hearing me this morning? He is God all by himself. He's a sovereign king, the almighty, almighty, the Uyin Kosi, Ama Kosi. He is the first, the last, all at the same time. Not that he's the first and no. He is not the first and the last. No, he is the first, last, all at the same time. Alpha, Omega, all at the same time. Your bridge over many waters. Your way maker, your pathfinder.
The one who sits in the heavens, rules over the affairs of men, the governor of all nations, the monarch of the universe, the one who numbered the hair on your head, the one who put the entire water on the planet earth in the hollow of his hand, the one who rules over all. Nothing can rule over him. The creator of all things, yet was created by nothing. The one who speaks and nothing can dispute him. The one at the blast of his nostrils, the waters gather together. He is here, he is there. He is in Joburg, he is in Lagos, he is in Zimbabwe, he is in Malawi, he is in New York, he is in London, all at the same time. The Bible said on Friday where we read, he appeared to 500 of them all at once. Omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient. Give this God praise. Hey! It may be unusual, but your God will always do the unusual. I declare over you this morning, as your amen will thunder, get ready for unusual happenings in the name of Jesus. I said, get ready for unusual happenings in the name of Jesus. The unusual will become your usual in the name of Jesus. Hey! God is about to put you in a season called unusual. Not your neighbor, tell them God has put me in a season called unusual. The resurrection is a revelation of God's ability to orchestrate the unusual. Not just the unusual, but unusual restoration, unusual recovery. So the key word I want to zoom in this morning, with a few minutes I have left, is recovery. Recovery, restoration. I'll be interchanging both words. Throughout the Bible, you will see all different stories used and different characters used to describe recovery and restoration. Why do we see all of this emphasis on restoration, on recovery? Here, bear in mind, redemption means recovery. Redemption means restoration. Redemption means recovery. Jesus came to recover man back. So, redemption means recovery. I believe God wants to remind us about the possibility of recovery before you and I have to ever deal with the reality of setbacks. God wants you to understand that He is a God of restoration. That He can recover you, He can restore you, even before you ever get to deal with anything that has to do with setbacks in your life. Are you understanding me this morning? Because if you are aware of the possibility of a recovery before you deal with the reality of a setback, then your setback will not set you back. Many people's setback have set them back. They've experienced setback in their finances, and that setback has ended up setting them back as a person. But when you understand that God is able to recover you, God is able to restore you, your setback in any area of life will not set you back, because you can have a setback with something and you don't allow that thing to set you back in life. Some people have had setback in them because the things around them were set back. Their finances, their job, their marriage, their career. And as a result, they allowed that experience to set them back as a person. I don't know who you are. You went through an experience and it set you back. And right now, it has set you back as a person. I pray for you on this Resurrection Sunday, be restored in the name of Jesus. I recover you in the name of Jesus. So God wants you to know about the possibility of restoration, possibility of recovery, before you ever have to deal with the reality of a setback. So when you experience a setback, you don't let the setback have the better part of you. When you study the prophetic books of the Old Testament, one of the things you will see there is that the prophets of the old always prophesied about recovery and about restoration and about redemption before Israel ever have to deal with any form of oppression or subjugation. They prophesied it ahead of time. And that made them to realize that no matter what we go through, God has guaranteed at the end we are coming out. At the end, we are coming out. Oh, I don't know what you're going through. I have a good news for you. You are coming out in the name of Jesus. I say you are coming out in the name of Jesus. You are coming out in the name of Jesus. He said to them, they will go into bondage for 400 years. But after 400 years, you will be out. And they came out, even though they delayed 30 years extra, and it was as a result of their ignorance. I pray for you, anyone that have stayed longer than necessary in any battle, in any challenge, I stand here today as your kinsman redeemer. I pull you out in the name of Jesus. As I bring you out in the name of Jesus, God will always remind you that he will bring you out. Oh, are you understanding me this morning, friends? So you see prophecies like you will be taken captive to Babylon, but after a certain number of years, I will bring you out. So whilst, you know, they are there panicking, God's original plan and intent has been concluded. So you are afraid of today, but your tomorrow has been taken care of. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God knows there is a valley of the shadow of death, but he knows at the end, you will not be swallowed in that valley. I don't know what you're going through right now. Get ready. You will not be swallowed in the name of Jesus. Though I walk through, the reason I'm not afraid is he is with me. He will never leave nor forsake me. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. So sometimes we go through setbacks. Setbacks, hear me, friends, are unavoidable. Setbacks are also inevitable. Setbacks are unavoidable. Setbacks are inevitable. They are, number one, as a result, setbacks, they are results of our reality of living in an imperfect world. So sometimes setbacks in life, setbacks happen. When it happens, number one, it happens because life happens. Life happens, which is because you are living in an imperfect world. Sometimes people will happen to you because you are living with imperfect people, including you. You're not perfect. So sometimes you have become the person that happened to others. Amen. Sometimes you're someone else's prayer request. Yeah. Life happens. People happen. Why? Because we live in the midst of imperfect people. And sometimes imperfect choices also happens. Why? Because you and I, we are not perfect. We are imperfect. So the reality of sovereignty suggests that two things can't be sovereign at the same time. It is either your mistakes are sovereign or God is sovereign. It is either your missteps are sovereign or God is sovereign. It is either people are sovereign or God is sovereign. And God wants you and I to remember, and he wants to remind us that he can orchestrate an unusual restoration, unusual recovery for us. Why? Because he is sovereign. He will always have the last say. He will always have the final say. Listen, no man has the final say over your life. No institution has the final say. No organization has the final say. The Almighty, Almighty will always have the final say. Therefore, I declare, anyone that have said by their word, you will not become anything. I nullify those words in the name of Jesus. No one has the final say. Jesus has the final say. He has the final say. Why? Because he is the only God that is sovereign. Nobody is sovereign. He is sovereign king. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when God wants to change your situation, he reminds us that he is sovereign. He will always have the final say. When God wants to change your story, he orchestrates unusual recovery. And some of you listening to me right now, God has shown you who is sovereign. Because when you look at your track record and all that has happened to you, you shouldn't even be where you are today. You shouldn't be. When you look at where you are right now, when you look at where you are, when you know, carefully look at where you are, you shouldn't even be where you are right now. Because in every situation, in every circumstance you have gone through, God has always shown you that he is the sovereign king. That situation doesn't have the final say. Some of you right now, God brought you out of a sickness that could have killed you. When medical science failed, the Almighty God did not fail. And I think that this is a moment for every one of us to pause for the cause and give this God praise this morning. Please give him praise. He is sovereign. And he keeps showing us that he's sovereign. Do you know that that's what resurrection is all about? Death has always had the final say. Then the Apostle Paul, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26, he calls death the last enemy that shall be destroyed. He calls death the last enemy that shall be destroyed. Why? Because there is nothing that has not succumbed to death. Plants succumb to death. Animals bow to death. Humans submit to death. But Jesus said, let me show you something, because two things cannot be sovereign at the same time. That was why he entered into the grave, stayed 3 days, and he came out. Because death doesn't have the final say. He is the only king that has ever resurrected. And that is why you and I can stand here today. We can rejoice. We can celebrate because of what Jesus did. He conquered death. And if he conquered death, whatever has died around you, I prophesy life in the name of Jesus. I say, I prophesy life in the name of Jesus. So Jesus defeated death and hell because only Jesus is sovereign. Him reminding you and I, your situation is not sovereign. Look at your neighbor, nudge them, maybe tell them, your situation is not sovereign. And even when you want to get on the way, God will remove you to make sure that he gives you the victory you deserve. Hallelujah. Celebrate the Lord this morning. Therefore, what is a setback? Setbacks are revealed by two realities. Number one, when you have had some damage. Number two, setbacks are also seen in drifting that happens. Setbacks are also seen in drifting that happens. Setbacks are also seen in drifting that happens. Now listen carefully. Drifting is more dangerous because you will always drift before the damage. Drifting happens before damage. Follow me carefully. Read with me the book of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Read with me. NIV translation. It says, we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. Listen, you can drift and have setbacks spiritually. And most believers don't know or don't realize that there is no neutral zone in spiritual things. There is no demilitarized zone in spiritual things. In spiritual things, you are either progressing or regressing. You are either going forward or you are going backwards in spiritual things. You never get to sit on the fence. Even when you don't know that you are regressing, you are regressing. In spiritual things, you never sit on the fence. There is no neutral zone in spiritual things. And the dangers of regression is it happens incrementally and not instantaneously. That is, regression doesn't happen overnight. You drift one step at a time. One step at a time. And the danger is you will not even know that you are getting weaker spiritually, because you can get weaker without you feeling weaker in your physical body. And that was what happened to John, you know, the disciple. When I taught you that 2 weeks ago. So when the Bible said they ran, as they ran, he arrived at the tomb of Jesus. He stepped back. Why? Because he didn't know that spiritually he was already weaker, even though his natural strength was still there. Often you don't know that you're weak spiritually until you are confronted with a situation that requires spiritual muscle. And you discover that you have no strength to lift. When your muscles are weak spiritually, when you face a situation that puts a demand on that weak muscle, you discover that you can't lift. And I pray for anyone that is weak spiritually, let life return back and let strength come in the name of Jesus. So sometimes, Samson, you don't know your strength is gone until you have to fight the Philistine. A believer can drift spiritually. A believer can also drift emotionally. You can confuse, listen carefully, you can confuse the absence of pain with the presence of healing. You can feel like just because it is no longer hurting me, that means I am healed. Just because it is no longer hurting doesn't mean you are healed. And there are many who are in that situation. And God is saying, resurrection reminds us that God is able to bring healing to areas we have forgotten that we are hurting in. And understand, the power of pain is not just seen in your feeling. The power of pain is also seen in how you are formed. That is, pain will form you. And that is why your adversary goes out of his way to send you so much pain, because he wants you to be formed by your pain. Satan wants the pain to replace the potter's hands in forming you. It is the potter's hands that ought to form you. But if you're not careful, the devil can replace the potter's hands and put pain. And pain is forming you. I pray for you today. Anyone that is being formed by any form of pain, you're being formed by the pain you went through when you were small. Pain you have gone through in relationship. Pain you have gone through in business, in career. And that pain is forming you. By the power of the Holy Ghost, I command it to break in the name of Jesus. Pain can form you. If the Bible, when you study the scriptures very well, the Bible uses certain terms to help us understand how God enables us to recover. So Satan wants you to let your feeling of pain form you and stop you from recovering. But you need to refuse it. You need to refuse it. That even though you feel pain, you're still going to keep loving the Lord. You're still going to keep following after God. You are refusing to drift. You are refusing to drift. Because when you drift, you never come back. And God wants you to understand, you don't have to drift. Stay. He said, you know, when you go back to the scripture where we read, the Bible said, when they got to the tomb, they prepared Sunday morning. They couldn't go there on Saturday because it was Sabbath. When they prepared to go anoint Jesus, they prepared the spices to go and anoint his body, because they didn't want his body to smell. They got their spices ready. Everybody was prepared. They went to go and anoint Jesus. And the Bible recorded that when they got to that same place, they decided to go to the tomb on that Sunday morning. When they got there, and they saw that the tomb was open, stone rolled away, nobody was found inside. They became perplexed. Why? They had forgotten. They have drifted from what they heard. They had drifted. The same thing that happened to John, the same thing happened to them. They arrived. Put the scripture on the screen. Thank you. Put from verse 5 for me. From verse 5 to 8. The Bible said, terrified, the women fell to the ground on their faces. The men in white said to them, why will you look for the living one in the tomb? He is not here, for he is here. Have you forgotten? The reason why many look for the living in the among the dead is because they have forgotten. What have you forgotten that you ought to remember that gives you victory? They arrived there. They were terrified. They were angry. They were perplexed. And the reason was because they forgot. I pray for you. May you not forget in the name of Jesus. I say, may you not forget in the name of Jesus. May you not forget in the name of Jesus. And the last sentence, all at once, they remembered his words. I decree and I declare, may you remember the word of God given to you in the name of Jesus. Because if they had remembered, they would not have been terrified. You fear because you don't remember. Many are walking in fear because they don't remember. Oh, they walk in fear. When you remember that the everlasting arm of the Almighty God is carrying you, you will not walk in fear. When you remember that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, you will not walk in fear. When you remember that your God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, when you go through a season of lack, you will not walk in fear. When you remember that no man can take your life, your life is in the arms of the Almighty God. Even when they threaten you, you will not walk in fear because you remember. I declare, may you remember in the name of Jesus. May you remember in the name of Jesus. May you remember in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise this morning. They forgot. Many believers forget too soon. As I close you. And after his death, they decided to go. That Sunday was the day Jesus resurrected. So they were going to his tomb to anoint his body. Not because they remembered he will resurrect. They weren't going by revelation. They were going by the flesh. Because their Jewish tradition demands that they go and anoint the flesh because of the heat of the environment so that the body will not have to smell. So they were going not by revelation. They were going as a result of religious duties. How many come to church as a result of religious duties? They are not coming because of revelation. So they're just coming. Actually, it's Resurrection Sunday. Let me just show up. So they were going. It's Sunday morning. That's why I use that translation. Early Sunday morning. They were going to church as usual. Not because of revelation. Because if they were going by revelation, they would not have been terrified. And they came. They got there, they saw the tomb. Stone rolled away. They didn't see the body. Now they are confused. And the reason they were confused was because they went looking for him, expecting to find him in the last place they saw him. They were going to anoint his body. So they were expecting to find him in the last condition they left him. Some people are just like that in your life. They come looking for you, expecting you to be in the last place, in the last situation, in the last state they left you. But I have good news. When they come, they will find that you have moved in the name of Jesus. You will have made progress in the name of Jesus. You will have excelled in the name of Jesus. I say you will have excelled in the name of Jesus. When they come back to look for you in your broken state, by the time they arrive, they will see you in your restored state in the name of Jesus. They will see you in your healed state in the name of Jesus. They met you some years ago when you had nothing. But I decree and I declare, by the time they return back, they will see you having plenty in the name of Jesus. They were expecting him to be where they left him. So sometimes people expect to see you where they left you. Sometimes be intentional in your movement. Move so that when they ask, are you still living in that same place? No, I've moved. Hallelujah. How many are ready to move in this season? Are you ready to move in this season? Are you ready to move in this season? I say, are you ready to move in this season? Are you ready to move in this season? No devil will find you in the last condition the devil left you in the name of Jesus. I said, no devil will find you in the last condition that devil left you in the name of Jesus. And the angel said to them, he said, why are you seeking the living amongst the dead? Remember, he spoke to you that after 3 days, he will rise. He told you so. He told you that this job is not your last. He told you that this setback you experienced will not kill you. He told you that that sickness that attacked your body is not going to destroy you. He said he told you so. He told you so. And all at once, they remembered. Lift your voice. Say, Lord, I thank you for resurrection. Right now, I remember. Lift your voice in thanksgiving.
Lift up your voice in thanksgiving. Give God thanks for the blessing of resurrection. His resurrection was for our change of state, our change of address, of our change of situation. You know, when Pastor was talking about setbacks, I realized that man's disobedience at the garden was the greatest setback on the agenda of God. But God already had a plan of recovery. Hey. God already had a plan to bring back mankind to where he originally intended him to be. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I don't know what it is that has set you back, but God has a plan.
Amen.
And because of that, I want you to rejoice this
morning.
And say, Father, you have a plan.
God has a plan. Rejoice.
For that great plan of restoration, that great plan of recovery, that great plan of redemption in the name of Jesus. We celebrate the sovereignty of our Father this morning. If your mistake was sovereign, you would have been doomed.
That's true.
But out of his sovereignty, he overlooked your mistake. He overlooked your sin. And he came for your rescue. He came for your recovery. That is why we must be grateful for the work of redemption. If it was for the plan of man, you and I would not be saved. If sin had the final say, we would not be here. It was out of the goodness of his heart. Hallelujah. It was out of his own will that he came for you and I. Say thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father. Thank you so much for listening. We believe you are blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Mogocha. Till next time, God bless.